Hello and welcome to an all new edition of the Airbuds podcast. Happy basketball, you fucking genius, you genius internet radio listener. My name is Jamel.
I'm Peter Moses. Mike Benerless today dealing with international affairs, literal international affairs.
Got nothing to do with the bathroom at all.
Nope. Definitely did not poop his pants. He is dealing to an international matter. So we wish him a speedy recovery. We will be seeing him later this week on a special report forthcoming. Yeah. But we got business to take care of. And when dad's away, that just means one of the kids has to pretend like he knows how to run through a rundown.
Woo! So yeah, you've been sweating for an hour. You keep texting me talking about I'm prepping. I'm like, prepping what? A fucking salad, bro?
Prepping stuff like this. Go to airbudspod.com. Check out everything there. We've got Patreons popping off. We've just hit over 100 Patreons, which means I think Jamel has to now release a video of his feet. Is that what it was?
Nah, we never agreed on that, bro. I'm not showing my feet to anybody.
Okay, I wasn't sure. Maybe it's just like us doing videos more.
Just in general, yeah. But no, that Benner said that, man. And that's not a joke. The bathroom stuff was a joke. But Benner's been trying to get me to show my feet online for months now. And yeah. I'm not having it, and it's not going to fly.
Benner,
thanks
is
for listening, though.
Yeah, that's a wild time. Airbudspod.com. We've got a t-shirt that is the most important t-shirt around in the internet right now. It is of Jamel's creation. It is for the NBA National Championships taking place right now in the most dangerous place on Earth, Disney World. So you can get that out. It's pretty beautiful. Go to airbuds.bigcartel.com or just at airbudspod.com. The shirts are popping off, guys. Remember this moment when we watched our favorite athletes get desperately sick from COVID. So enjoy it and grab one of those shirts. We got more business to take care of. I got a lot of Patreons this week. I think they wanted to just hear about Mike losing his mind to buy a gun, which you could check out on last week's Patreon episode.
Okay.
So I'll shout out some.
I didn't know you was going to plug the gun stuff. Continue.
I mean, what, man?
Listen, hey, at this point, I just didn't know.
Kevin Hurley, thank you very much. You are a beautiful bud. Thank you for joining the Patreones. Curtis Everett, thank you. You are a beautiful baby bud. Zachary Mills, thank you. You, sir, are a fantastic, beautiful baby bud. Spencer Vickers, thank you. Our fellow Butterino.
I know him.
Oh, that's nice. Thank you, Spencer. And let's see, Andrew Hawkins. I'm assuming you're not the receiver, but if you are, thank you for your time at the Cleveland Browns. And you are also a beautiful bud, and we are forever grateful.
Yeah, I think, what if these people have, like, criminal records?
Should we be worried about that? You know, I was worried about that, actually, for when Mike put out that tweet about our special report forthcoming. I was just like, hey, man, you know, I'm sure there are some people in the upcoming topic who like are going to reach out. We just gotta, you know, we can't vet everyone. I think we need a moderator also. If you're new to the Patreon, we will get you in the Slack. The Slack is a beautiful basketball safe haven, but I feel like at some point now we're getting towards 100 people. There's going to need to be a moderator at some point.
Let's get one of these cops who got fired. Once they start firing cops, we'll bring one of them in on for
to moderate.
Yeah. To moderate specifically.
We all know cops. They're great with words. All right, guys, we also have Jamel, you want to know why I was prepping? Because we're still on what? Fucking business and we're like 12 minutes in.
What are you talking about? More business.
Dude, we have reviews. We have 5-star reviews. If you cannot or will not join our Patreon, hey, we still love you, but go to Apple, hit us up with a 5-star review. Usually Mike has to read absolutely everything any of you guys put. We've got 2 new reviews. One of them is from Hova23III. This is one of the few podcasts about basketball that I can listen to and forget about the pain and suffering. Truly a funny podcast to listen to while in pain. Everything is okay at home. Glad this podcast exists. Thank you. Actually, Hova, thank you for actually letting us know that you're safe and good at the end of this.
Thanks for checking in, bro.
I was like, you were like mentioning pain twice to me was just, you know.
Yeah. The extra one definitely hit me too.
I was like, all right, I just want to make sure you're good. So that was just nice to see. So HOVA 23 triple I, thank you. The next one is from 619 Ben. Title is Stop Slandering the Clippers. The Clippers are the best team in the West, and if you don't stop running down the best player in the league in Kawhi and Paul George, who is a top 10 player, I will be forced to continue to reply to your tweets. Well, 619 Ben, we're always for Twitter engagement. So, you know, if that means pissing you off so that you keep hitting those replies, like that's just business, bro.
I mean, spot the lie, Peter. I'm talking to you, a basketball host, Peter Moses, with your Clipper dismissal.
What about it?
Yeah, shut up. That's what about it. You're dead wrong. They're good at sports, man.
Yeah, don't do that. When did I say they're bad?
Your whole body language, your whole aura is off right now, dude.
All right. Well, let's get into it and talk about it with our guest. She's a returning champion from the interwebs, formerly of The Athletic, now of SB Nation Silver Screen and Roll. Please welcome back to the stage, Sabrina Merchant.
Hey, guys. I'm so excited to be back.
Oh, man. Wow. Thank you for putting up with about 25 minutes of our business there. Jesus, I know we're supposed to like self-promote and stuff, but man, is it just like
when you call it business too, it's like, oh,
just like, here's the fun times at the beginning of the pod where we say all the things that we really care the most about.
Let's get somebody to read it in another language. Maybe let's spice it up.
That's a good idea.
That's a good idea. I like that a lot. Sabrina, we have so much to cover with you. First of all, just like, let's just spend a brief amount of time on the NBA, the lesser of the two leagues, especially in this podcast.
Correct.
Let's just do, you know, I'll set a little Zach Lowe style 2-minute-ish timer. What are your big takeaways from just seeing basketball again this last week in the scrimmages, as well as, you know, anything else that's top of mind for you?
The Denver Nuggets are my new favorite team. I want point Nikola Jokic all the time. I don't ever need to see Jamal Murray bring up the ball again for Denver. That was just a beautiful day for basketball. It was actually really fun to watch everybody. I mean, I thought it was going to be like, scrimmages. It's going to be like preseason all over again. It was awesome. I mean, I can't help myself. It was great. And then like LeBron just yelling nonsense at everybody on the Lakers, and you can hear everybody talking. It's wonderful. I mean, other than the fact that like I like going to games, I'm totally okay with the fanless experience on television. It works really well.
We have been advocates on this podcast for fans being illegal for years.
Yeah, we are staunchly anti-fan.
And this is truly, especially with the aforementioned Clipper experience, of just like, it's like someone is like consolidated Dave and Buster's into a gun and just shoots you in the face with it anytime they're not playing. It's great hearing the squeaks, hearing them shouting at each other.
Do you think they went really a little fantastic. Overboard on the floor mics? Like the squeaking is aggressive. I could probably do with maybe half of the mics that are on the floor. I get it. You know, it's a work in progress, right?
I was watching a baseball game today, and they are piping in the audience noise from MLB The Show. And it got me. I was like kind of in a daze, and I was like, Jose Ramirez was up for my Cleveland baseball team. And like distantly, there was like this chant of just Jose, Jose, Jose. And it really disoriented me for a good like 30 seconds. So I'm for all of the natural sounds, even if they are too high.
Yeah, the crowd noise is always, sorry, go ahead, Jamal.
No, it's just, they got to do something. You can't just hear every N-word in a NBA game. That's crazy.
Also, we're getting a little ahead of ourselves, but like I'm watching the Aces game today, and it's basically just like the Bill Laimbeer show.
A lot of James Wade, too. It was good.
Bill Laimbeer is dressed. He looks like fucking Rambo. Looks like Rambo, who's been stuck in a bar for 40 years and like just went outside for the first time. And he's just like clearly been talking shit to refs for the better part of 40 years. And it's just like he knows how to like say something to a ref in a way that just like hurts for me to listen to it. Like, damn, that hurt my feelings. And I'm watching you on my iPad.
Who's the head coach of Connecticut?
Kurt Miller.
Kurt Miller was losing his fucking mind the whole fucking game today. And then they blew like a 12-point lead, and then he didn't talk for the last 3 minutes. I'm like, oh my God, yeah, dude.
I think the WNBA sound has been on point because I can hear everything the coaches are saying, which is really good. Because I kind of need to know what they're doing because there's no WNBA preseason, right? So, like, I need to know what's happening. I need to know who's on every team. So, it's good, like, catch-up for me to be able to hear one-on-one basically with, like, Cheryl Raven, Kurt Miller, and all these other coaches.
For I want to sure. do a little bit of complaining for just a second before we get into the WNBA. Why am I still having to, like, figure out how to watch CBS Sports Network? Like, what the fuck? Why can't my WNBA League Pass just give me, they're all in the same place on the same feed. Like, how is this still being made difficult?
Bro, television rights are serious. That if I've learned anything during this quarantine is television rights run this shit.
If America, if the White House like had a television rights mentality to this pandemic, we would all have been in a better place for sure.
I do think it's probably better in the long run for, the W to get like that CBS Sports money than to just put everything on League Pass.
I know. I just
extra bags, Peter.
But like I signed up for a CBS All Access trial to try to get in and it still wouldn't let me in.
Yeah, I don't actually know how CBS Sports works. I did the CBS All Access trial for the NWSL Cup. So mine just expired. But yeah, I never tried watching CBS Sports on it. It should be the same thing, right? Like,
you know I got my mom's login for y'all. If y'all need it, what's
that's
up?
True. Right? Shout out to
y'all could have been hit me.
Mrs. Johnson. I do need to grab that for Peacock. She does have an Xfinity account, which is going to change the game.
My mom's been holding this podcast down for years.
You know, after it being weird, I will say if the world's going to burn, it's nice to just have some basketball along the way. We will have a special report coming tomorrow, which we can talk about now for the Lou Williams incident. Detailed reporting because we at Airbuds are definitely real journalists.
That's true.
And we got an interview from someone deep into the source material, you could say. So be on the lookout for that.
But so many ways quick to thoughts? Interpret that.
Yeah, but you know, I feel like it's actually very much like a PG version of it, but you gotta tease people, you know?
It's a really good tease. I will agree to that. It's Thank a shame you. It came also, after like 25 minutes of business.
You could say that about this whole fucking podcast, to be honest. Like, it was great after the first 25
minutes. So big. The air quotes on that were, like, huge, like a stapler. Ugh. That was great.
Listen, dad's away, and we're trying to just, like, make some breakfast and, like, take in the mail, let the
dog
out. You're
trying to be, you're being real big brother right now, and you're freaking me out, dude. Say something strange, dude. Quit acting all fucking normal, Peter. What the hell?
Listen, this is my job now. This is what I have to do.
You sound like Mr. Podcast right now.
I am Petey Podcast. all right. No, let's get into the real shit. Like, we'll talk to you about Lou Williams tomorrow. But the WNBA, the wobble is alive and well. Not in Orlando. Actually at IMG. First reaction, I feel like that's safer somehow. I feel like the WNBA is in like a better place because they're just not next to a massive amusement park, or am I just making that up?
I don't know, son. I've looked at the tag pictures in Bradenton, Florida, and it looks a little sketchy down there.
It also doesn't look like it's as secure as the NBA bubble. Like, people are staying off-site from where the games are, you know? Like, there's like little mini bubbles, you know?
Oh, no.
But I mean, everyone seems to be okay so far. I don't doubt Neko Gumake and Kathy Engelbert, so I'm on board.
We just want to keep everyone as healthy as we can for as long as they can, but I feel like there's no, even if they're off-site, I mean, like, the NBA dudes are living on fucking, like, Magic Mountain, like, and there's people from all over the world coming to fucking visit.
I hear people still going to Disney World. I don't get it.
Because we can't just, like... there's too much programming. We got programmed, man. People can't help themselves.
Yeah.
We'll literally die for this. We'll die for a turkey leg. And I say, good for them, bro. Whatever, man. good luck. Safe travels. I think the WNBA court looks better. That's just this thing I've noticed. They got clear lines.
Exactly.
They got a clear out of bounds.
Exactly.
How did that happen?
The NBA scrimmage one, it must just be the scrimmage court because it does look like it's like a stencil of a basketball.
They've been changing logos for teams. They stenciled it for everybody.
Yeah, I don't understand why you would make it so difficult to distinguish between out of bounds and inbounds. Like when everybody already steps on the 3-point line and they're taking that corner three anyway, now it's literally impossible to distinguish where they're supposed to stand.
On a side note, I think corner three should be illegal. I think I'm over it. I think I'm tired of seeing them in general. So many missed corner threes. I could just do without it.
I mean, are we like team abolished 3-pointer altogether or?
I mean, I was for a while. I was a curmudgeon just because, I mean, when you're watching the Wizards, when you're watching a bad team, it's like, I don't want to watch everybody else have fun. Nobody should get threes.
You know who's also I don't get on threes. Team abolish the 3-pointer? Villambier.
Yeah, seriously. They almost went a whole half without shooting a three.
Bro, who cares? They got Angel McCarthy, man. They could do anything.
They did look – I mean, it's crazy. I mean, I know Cambage is not there, but, like, they look great.
I really miss Kelsey Plum, though.
Yeah, I had totally forgot about that. And she just got hurt.
Yeah. Like, I know Cambage is, like –
I forgot you could get regular hurt.
I know Cambage is, like, objectively better than Plum, but I just think it would have been so much more fun to see Kelsey on this team. Because they just need, like
– Yeah, definitely.
One more player who can actually – not necessarily even three, is just, like, shoot –
or just someone who wants to stand by the three-point line, I would say.
What's this thing here? Is there's like extra paint that we don't need anymore?
That's it. Just someone like doing a yo-yo over in the corner. All right. Let's run through each team here. I feel like Wobble Headlines is a good place to start. What are like, Sabrina, two or three things like overall about the league that you're kind of keeping an eye on with the Wobble, or just kind of things to look for people acclimating back into WNBA life?
Number one is they're not messing around in terms of their messaging regarding social justice and Breonna Taylor. It is everywhere. It is impossible to miss. And every single player is so very clear about what the WNBA wants. And there's just like no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Like the season is not even about basketball for most of them. They're literally dedicating it to her memory and to her justice, which is, it's just like an unbelievable message coming from 140 women together. It's really, really cool.
Has been extra strong. And they have, and the intro, the ESPN intro of every game, also very strong as well. Okay.
Yeah, I guess like, I think it's okay to write, you know, group economics on an NBA jersey, but they actually get Breonna Taylor on these.
Yeah. Group economics, Now it's my first tattoo.
The bottom
after
of the real name is good. Are you gonna get, unless you get it on your face?
Oh, I'm getting group economics like on my chest.
Oh, that's hard.
Chet Hayes style.
I can't believe people actually chose it. I thought it was a joke.
I mean, group economics sounds like something a rich person thinks like what like is fair, like what he thinks like socialism is. Because, like, what's the opposite? Like, there is no thing that's not group economics.
Individual
like, an economy
economics?
Is. Yeah. Solo economics? Like, singular economics?
I don't know what it means. I was hoping for some clarity from you guys. Is it a real thing?
I mean, the execution of the social justice angle of this.
I thought it was
NBA,
a white rap group.
It's actually an a cappella group.
Okay.
They're from the Wharton School of Business. Shooby doo bop 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 doop shooby doo bop 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 doop. Okay, I'll stop.
Yeah, and then you gotta like if you wrote that on the back, like you don't even get to explain yourself unless you were the star of the game.
So no.
Who's even writing it?
Anyone who writes group economics on the back of their jersey has to explain it after every game. I think that's
no matter what, like even if they didn't play, it's like no, we're our first interview is with
number 24 group
Scott
economics.
Pollard, right. Yeah.
Like Tim Bontemps has to be like, all right, Mo Wagner, explain group economics to me.
And it's also like every single high profile player was just like, no, thanks. I'm just gonna go with James or Leonard or Butler, right?
Yeah, no, I didn't even notice. In NBA games, I didn't even notice anyone's shit on the back.
Well, they haven't done it yet. It's starting on the, like, the seeding games.
It's scrimmaging without it? What are we doing?
Yep.
That thing that we passed around with Mo Wagner having his thing say, now that's flagrant, has to be fake, right?
It's definitely fake. I thought that was a flagrant one's bit.
Well, that's great. Shout out to the flagrant ones, because I was like, what? Is this real?
Yeah, you came in the chat at like 6 a.m. Like, Mo Wagner just lost his mind. Like, nah, dude, this is comedy.
Okay. Who can tell anymore, you know? The line between comedy and journalism is just razor thin these days.
It's right on the cut, right on the... I wish I was a line judge.
What else? Any other big takeaways for you just overall for the league with the wobble? I know we had you on when they kind of had this historic CBA announced, and I feel like it all kind of got thrown up into the air. But anything else that you're just thinking about overall for the league heading in?
I think it's so cute that they all have their families there. I've been just eating up all of the little kids in the WNBA bubble. You know, all that content is adorable. De'Erica Hamby's daughter, I think, is the MVP so far. Although Candace Dupree and DeWanna Bonner's twins are also just the cutest. It makes me a little uncomfortable that, like, the WNBA and the NWSL put so much effort into making sure that families could be part of the experience. And the NBA is like, oh, no, we don't have any, like, room for them. We only have this expansive, you know, Disney World mammoth resort. There's just no way we could possibly account for wives and significant others.
They brought three DJs, but no kid. Hey, lead the kids.
It's so ridiculous. Just, like, what the burden of, like, motherhood is in this country. It's absurd.
That is definitely true. I feel like the Republican Party underestimating the fact that, like, you know, women make up 47% of the workforce is problematic, to say the least. I will say, I want to take a devil's advocate approach to this, and not in the way that I think hopefully is problematic, but more in the sense of, like,
will be.
Okay, we'll find out. Listen, that's what this podcast is for. I feel like NBA dudes overall, like, the family orientation, the family orientedness, I feel like there's, I don't know, it's like I almost don't, like,
you just don't trust them with their kids. You don't think the NBA should have their kids with them.
Well, I mean, you just look at, like, what the NBA is like so far, and it is like straight up summer camp. Everyone's fishing, shotgun and beers, like pretending like they're DJs. It feels like a more kind of raucous environment from having all the space at Disney. They've got to be entertained. They're building the NBA 2K neighborhood barbershop for them. So I don't know. You're right. Maybe I'm just being sexist. Maybe they should all be 10.
I mean, that kind of sounds like an incredible place for a kid to go. Like, all of those arcade games all the time. They can, like, go out on boats. You know,
you're right. Got, you know what? Fuck you, NBA. You should have put all the families in. Yeah. Let me in, actually. I'll go club med it up there at Disney World.
Yeah, why wouldn't you? I've been trying to figure out how to sneak down there already. Like,
DJs and barbers can babysit kids during the middle of the day.
Oh, barbers are great at babysitting.
Yeah.
That's what they do for their job in real life. They babysit people and cut their hair.
For sure.
All right, so I figure we could go through just kind of every team too, just talk about, you know, what's going on with them, what to look out for, especially for maybe new WNBA fans as well, kind of things to look at for each team when they're watching them, as we all, I guess, we just watch basketball for like 20 hours a day for the next 3 months. Is that what's going to happen?
Yeah, I'm not prepared, and I don't want to get addicted to coffee, but.
Okay. How the fuck am I supposed to reasonably, like, keep an eye on baseball, hockey, football, and basketball, ostensibly all happening at the same time? Yeah.
Not to mention soccer in multiple
countries.
Like, they're just non-soccer.
Champions League, right?
That's coming back too. Yeah. Oh man, I don't like the first day of the NCAA tournament is always so much fun because there's, you know, 1,000 games happening at once. But it's still one sport, you know, one tournament, and it only happens 2 days of the year, and then everything slows down again.
This is not going to be any slowing down at all.
I'm sure some of the bubbles will just pop and, like, baseball will stop and football will stop. And then we can just focus on, like, the sports that actually have their shit together.
I feel like baseball's got to be first to go, right? They're traveling all over the country.
Yeah. You saw that, like, the next Blue Jays game was literally just listed as TBD North America because they don't have a site yet.
They are,
Toronto will not allow them to play there, and every other place is just like, eh.
They are officially, as of I think today or yesterday, the Buffalo Blue Jays for the year.
I'm not even sure that's going to stick.
Yeah. And I mean, but football is not going to stop unless Jerry Jones dies. So,
but there's just like 31 more people exactly like Jerry Jones. So,
I don't know what
Jerry's got clones.
Okay, hold on. At least, and now this is at least for football, you can mask up everybody super fucking well. It's pretty annoying to watch baseball games and watch players have their masks on, but their nose sticking out. That to me is almost worse than people who don't wear masks.
But I think baseball should theoretically be much easier to keep players safe because there's so little contact. Like, they're not even sitting next to each other in the dugouts anymore. I mean, if you strike out like four times, you're literally not making, you know, reasonable contact with any other player in the game.
It's the safest thing you can do in the world.
Exactly. It is good for public health to just be, you know, strikeouts and home runs. That's it.
Bro, when I seen Fauci.
Then you might like baseball because that's all it is.
Fauci throwing out that first pitch had me fucked up. And like, not because it was a bad pitch. I was just like, what's he doing there? Why is he there? He's giving people pounds. I don't know what to believe anymore.
Yeah.
Science, man. Believe science. All right, buds, we're going to take a break to tell you about Deal Dash. Have you ever heard of DealDash.com? It's the best, most honest bidding site where you can win things you'd never expect at prices you would never believe. They have over 1,000 auctions every day on electronics, appliances, beauty products, home decor, and even cars. Yes, just like the Disney movie, Cars. Here's how it works. It's like an auction, but every item starts at zero and only goes up 1 cent every time you bid. The kicker is that the auction clock restarts after just 10 seconds. That means every time you bid, everyone else has 10 seconds to answer or the item is yours. If you are into auctions and stuff being way underpriced when you buy it, you can go ahead and buy now because Deal Dash is offering you, our listeners, an extra 100 free bids upon sign up on top of their other discounts. Go to DealDash.com and use promo code BUDS. That's right. We got our own fucking promo code, guys. BUDS BUDS or DealDash.fm/BUDS. That's DealDash.fm/BUDS. BUDS, baby. DealDash.com.
I guess we were talking about the WNBA.
Yeah, the Atlanta Dream. Know. Other than their own version of Donald Sterling, basically trying to use them to, inspire all the racists to vote in Georgia. What are our top line thoughts about them heading into this wobble?
Trinity Carter.
Boop.
Put a big double asterisk on that one.
Yeah. It was so much fun watching this Atlanta game that it just finished because I think so I didn't watch Atlanta a ton last year because they were awful. But the three times they played the Sparks, I think they averaged maybe like 64 points. And they put up, 10 something today, which is just an unbelievable outcome.
Like, scoring's been low-key high as fuck this first couple days.
It's awesome.
Like, it's great.
I don't need defense. Who the fuck cares about defense? Like, that's – offense is supposed to like get better as the season goes along too. Isn't that like how usually this works? So I'm all for it. Let's like break some scoring records here. They were legitimately fun to watch. Like I thought like, okay, you know, Atlanta Dallas is the last game of the weekend. Like I probably am going to like lose momentum. And I watched the whole way through, even though like my girl Marina Mabry wasn't playing, but that was a good one.
Yeah. Dallas looked pretty good too. Young team over there, but Atlanta, Courtney Williams is not in the bubble.
Yeah, she tested positive, and she hasn't cleared the coronavirus protocol yet to get back in. Yeah.
There was no way Courtney Williams wasn't going to get coronavirus, guys. I don't know if you've seen her IG live, but she is about that action. So I'm glad she's okay.
You could say married to the game.
For sure.
Not the wobble, but just the game.
Just the game in general.
But yeah, there's a lot of fun players in Atlanta. I think Elizabeth Williams looked great today. One of the two returning players from last year's roster. So fan favorite, really. And like you said, Kennedy Carter was great. I like Shakina Strickland a lot. It's nice to just have somebody who can shoot on that team. Even like they're just like random, like they picked up this like Benagelani from Indiana, and I had never seen her like play offense in the last however many years she's been in the WNBA. So that was kind of fun. I just really like Nikki Collin. I think she's like, it's hard to say like one of the better coaches in the W because there's only 12 coaches, but I think she's just a fantastic coach. And it's really fun to just watch her have players who can do things again.
Do you think Atlanta is making the playoffs?
Okay, so four teams missed the playoffs, right?
I'm gonna ask you about every single one, so we can.
Okay,
I'll hold you to account.
My guess is they will miss the playoffs.
All right,
just because somebody has to. Yeah,
but a fun team, definitely more fun than last year.
Oh yeah.
All right, the Chicago Sky, who have been a sexy pick for potential Wubble champions. What are some top line takeaways about the Sky?
They got everybody back. Like they're like one of the only teams where everybody reported. Is that correct?
You're exactly right. And like the one player they lost from last year's team, I feel like they made an upgrade when they got Azori Stevens from Dallas, who's just like one of my favorite players in the league because she's, I think she's like 6'6", but she plays just like a guard, which is really fun in the W. You just don't get that. But yeah, I think it's always fun when like they rematch playoff games on opening night in basketball, right? And obviously, like Vegas, Chicago was the best game of the postseason last year because of Tierra Camby forgetting what the clock was, but it working out in her favor anyway.
For sure. Oh, yeah.
And then you just kind of get like a reverse of that in this game where Allie Quigley hits the game winning 3-pointer after Vegas had been up by like double digits for most of the fourth quarter. But it doesn't really matter because they didn't, you know, win the playoff game.
Quigley is my, I think, my favorite, one of my favorite players to watch as I'm still venturing into the space. She is like everywhere all the time.
She was definitely like an off-season winner because she came out really well in that horse competition.
Yeah,
which make fun of you will, but like she actually like beat some men, even if Zach LaVine just cheated when he played against her. That was real buskill. But yeah, Chicago's really fun. Another no defense team, which I think we're seeing a lot of. I don't know if it's like by design or just because defense is harder to scheme.
Defense sucks. Think that
that shortened camp and like no preseason. I think, yeah, this first week is just like do whatever.
I don't think they're as good as like, I think there's like a top tier that Chicago is not a part of, but I think I'm in the minority because everyone is calling them like a sleeper pick to get things done. And I don't really see it. Like if you have good guards, like who is going to guard them on Chicago? I love Vandersloot. I love Quigley. They're not guarding your best perimeter threats, at least not effectively. So it's a really fun team to watch. I don't think it's an accident that Angel McCautry looked this good a year and a half after playing her last game, or almost 2 years after playing her last game.
Agreed.
Okay. So you got them in the playoffs for sure, but not someone that you're like, contender, but like a fun team. And somehow, like, I feel like people are talking about them like they talk about like the Cincinnati Reds every year, where they're like, watch out for this team. This might be the year they're awesome. And it's like, yeah, you're fun, but it's not necessarily like, it's just like a fun team to say right now when clearly there is a level above.
I reserve every right to change my mind if Diamond Shields is actually healthy and just starts beasting again, because she is basically the answer to all of the questions I have about Chicago, like how they defend perimeter players, you know, what they do when their jump shots aren't falling. Like Diamond can do all that.
Yeah, she seemed off today. Was that bold game today?
Choice, bold choice by a lot of the WNBA coaches this like the last 2 days, just not start their best players. Like Diamond comes off the bench. Derek Hamby comes off the bench. When we get to Indiana, Tierra McCowan came off the bench. Like,
we're almost at Indiana. Let's talk about the Sun. Connecticut Sun caught an L to the Mystics, or to the Lynx, right? Top line takeaways about the old Sunnies.
Jamel, did you watch this game? Because I was mostly watching soccer this morning.
I did watch this game. I woke up and watched this game because I couldn't watch soccer this morning. And I guess my takeaway is Dawana Bonner kind of becoming their number one option now that Courtney Williams and Shakina Strickland are gone. And it looked pretty good for three quarters, and then they ran out of gas. Like, they were up double digits and then just were wiped. And, like, you know, Minnesota just outlasted them. But they look better than I thought they would. I thought they lost a ton, and Jonquel Jones wasn't there, but they definitely got a plan. I didn't realize how good Dawana Bonner was, I guess is what I'm saying.
Yeah, for me, it's just Alyssa Thomas is so hard to play against because she just has an unlimited motor. I mean.
Yeah, and yeah, she's for sure the best player. And yeah, it showed that, like, her being there, she's an anchor.
Like, I was really enjoying watching Jonquel live tweeting the game. Because she was saying, like, Alyssa's going to average, like, 30 rebounds this year because, like, she and I always used to fight for them, and now there's nobody for her to fight with. But, I mean, so I'm playing WNBA Fantasy for the first time this year, and Alyssa Thomas was, like, by far and away my best player this weekend. I even named my team No Labrums.
Yo, she's got no labrums, bro.
How did she not had surgery up? On this yet? Like,
but to have labrums or just to repair them?
To repair labrums.
She left the labrums at the crib, dog. I mean,
some people just, like, rip their ACLs and are just fine.
I don't understand.
The body is wild.
And she's right-handed but shoots lefty. She just did that because her cousin was left-handed. And she was just like, I fuck with my cousin so much. I'm left-handed too now.
Yeah. I like Connecticut a lot. I just, like you said, I think the start of the season is going to be hard for them because they only had, like, 7 players in camp. But maybe, like, when people get healthy, you'll see that work again, because that top line talent, Dawana Bonner, Alyssa Thomas, even Jasmine Thomas, like, is still really good.
But, like, not afraid about them missing the playoffs, right?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah. All right. To the team you just mentioned, the Indiana Fever. And I have a question before we get into starting this, just in the way that, like, the Cleveland Indians and the Washington Redskins have to look at their team names because of the pandemic. Do we feel like the Indiana Fever, is that still appropriate?
Wait a minute. Hold on. Does that mean I have to get the jersey now?
I'm just saying, like, you know, one of the things that you do going into work, my mom works for the Jewish Federation in Cleveland as, like, and they do, like, some essential services. So when she has to go in her office sometimes, or, you know, when you go into the Wobble or anywhere, the worst thing that could happen is you have a fever. Like, fevers are the thing that we're all trying to avoid right now. Also, what was the fever supposed to be? Why was the fever cool before this?
It's weird to me because usually, like, the mascots, especially the teams that are co-owned by the WNBA, the NBA teams, like, there's some connection, right? You got, like, Wolves and Lynx, or, like, Kings and Monarchs, you know, back in Sacramento, or, yeah, Suns and Mercury, right? But, like, what does fever have to do with Pacers? Does it?
Their whole shit is fucked up. I think the point is Indiana is a very strange place.
So the Pacers are actually referring to harness racing because they're
pace car.
Yeah.
Like a horse racing or.
Oh, I thought it was like pace cars, but yeah, I mean.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Pace cars. Sorry. I read that wrong. But what does a fever have to do with the fucking Indy 500?
I don't know. I have no idea.
It's just so sick.
It's also not a fun team to watch. And I don't think they're going to make the playoffs. And I have very little things to say about them other than Candace Dupree is married to Dawana Bonner and they have cute kids.
That's it. Hey, yeah. That seems like a top level thing to take away.
Hey.
There is a great advertisement that Candace Dupree has with the little ones about how to watch fever games this year. And I will watch that more than any fever games this year.
Listen, yeah, we're all going to need some time to watch NHL and Champions League. So maybe just do it during fever games.
It was very nice of them to let us start the season against the Fever.
Yes, I forgot. Mystics fan over here.
No Erica Wheeler. Big problems. They got our head assistant for many years. Marianne Stanley? Marianne Stanley. Yeah. And, you know, sorry she got fucking 30 bald.
Out here just... Jamel riding that championship as hard as possible.
Whatever,
all right, you got the Fever, miss it. New York Liberty, they traded away Tina Charles. They have the number one pick in the draft. Anything else? I mean, you know, trying to make her the face of the league.
It's going to take some time. Yeah. This might be the worst team in the league.
Whoa, like, you got worse than Indiana.
It might be worse than Indiana. Just because Indiana has some veterans who can, like, competently play. Like, once Wheeler comes back, you've got Dupree. You've got – I mean, McCowan's not a veteran, but, like, you've got Kelsey Mitchell, who's in her third year and who just can literally score every time you give her the ball. There's enough to work with there, whereas, like, you're going to double Sabrina and, like, they were just not prepared to pass out of traps, like, the whole game. Which, what did you think was going to happen?
Yeah, she has, like, her own Nike – she has, like, her own Gatorade commercials. Like, obviously, they're going to double team her.
Super literally, like, went on Instagram Live months ago and was like, anytime you play rookies, you just want to fuck them up. That's what you want to do. And you're playing against Sue Bird, and you thought, oh, she's going to go easy on her? Like, I don't – what was the game plan here?
Shout out to Sue Bird just, like, stepping into that wine and talking how she's going to cover everyone months in advance on Instagram Live. Yeah, also, I mean, great to see her on the court again, to be honest.
Absolutely. But, yeah, New York – I get that they, like, are going for this youth movement, but I think they went too far. I think seven is too much. Hot take here. Seven rookies is too much.
Oh, yeah, and then your one vet gets hurt game one. Kia Nurse gone for a couple weeks now.
Yeah. I did like Laysha Clarendon a lot, though. I thought she was great.
Yeah, she looked good.
It's nice to just have a second ball handler with Sabrina because, like I said, nobody else knew what to do when she was getting trapped. But
she was fun. She was one of the few things fun to watch last year, too, with them.
Is Sabrina getting the MVP?
Rookie of the year?
Yeah, my bad. Yeah.
Nah, I think it's going to be Carter.
Thank you. Peter tried to tell me this is going to be Sabrina last week.
All right, we'll see.
I mean, I'm rooting for Sabrina, obviously. You know, there's built-in connection here. I refuse to buy any of the merch, though, because she spells her name differently, and it just looks like I bought something that spelled my name wrong.
You should just duct tape over, like, the, like, and just, like, with two E's, right?
I guess I could, you know, it seems like a lot of effort. But, yeah.
There was a Chelsea midfielder, Moses, who I almost bought his jersey for.
Victor Moses, right?
Yeah, played on the Ivory Coast too. I think that was the jersey I should have gotten, to be honest, is the Ivory Coast Moses jersey. But that's neither here nor there. Let's get to the time where Jamel gets to act like an asshole and talk about his
defending world champion Washington Mystics. Yeah,
are we allowed to call them world champions?
I don't know anymore. Campus champs.
That team in Russia is pretty good. I feel like they could beat the Mystics.
Ooh, yeah. Do I with like Breonna Stewart in them?
I guess how would Emma play against Emma though?
Exactly. We get Emma both ways. It's like a 2K game.
Yeah, but world, like, champion Mystics. Sorry, Jamel, go for it.
Nah. We look fine. We look good. Yeah, our scout team won by 30. I don't. What do you want me to do? What do you want me to say? You know. Myesha Hines Allen is the most improved player pick already. You gotta say, I think she just got a chance. It's just when you're behind like a future Hall of Famer and another, maybe, you know, like, how are you gonna get any minutes? I was shocked to see we looked that good though.
I was talking to somebody about this, how, like, the Mystics have a very 2020 Raptors vibe, too, where, like, you lose your two best players,
Raptors.
Right? And everybody just sort of counts them out, but they're really good. Like, there's just a lot of good talent there, yeah. And Tebow is a phenomenal coach who actually understands that, like, you know, getting threes is kind of good offense. Plus, I think, like, Lonnie Mitchell is super underrated. I like her a lot.
For sure. Great team. The only hole I saw is there's no like backup post presence. Like, we're playing small and that just is what it is.
I think if Tiana Hawkins is healthy, it should work. But fair. She like stepped out after 2 minutes against Indiana and they didn't like feel like risking it. So knock on wood, she's okay. She's not my fantasy team. I drafted her before Myesha Hines Allen, and I feel terrible about it.
Yeah, but who saw that coming? Nobody. I didn't know it was going to happen, but I knew that the team was invested in her because if you follow the Mystics, like, She's basically like in every other fucking video. Yeah. Now that Natasha Cloud is gone, it's just, yo, it's give just Maisha the camera and just get out of the way. And that's just what it is.
She's fun. I just loved all of, like, the full court takes. Just like fake dribble handoff. I still got it.
Yo, and she was fucking exhausted. Like, you clearly at the end of
the 6 points in the fourth quarter or something. Just like,
yeah. She looked like the most tired I've ever seen a person be.
It's a good thing they play again in like 2 days.
Fantastic.
We're all going to just chalk that up to obviously the Mystics are making the playoffs. And if you want to hear Jamel freak out about them more, all right, just follow him on Twitter because.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll give you whatever takes you want.
Just, add him directly and he'll take it on up for the Mystics. The Wings, Dallas Wings, I'm guessing this is probably your team, the last team you have missing the playoffs, unless I'm way off base.
No, you're absolutely correct. I always think it's funny that Brian Agler is coaching the Wings when he doesn't like playing rookies. The only team that would make less sense for him to coach, I suppose, is the Liberty. But I think like everyone was saying like, oh, you know, they have all these threats that like, you know, can take the pressure off of Arike. I think every single offensive threat they signed is still a rookie. So everyone's still going to double Arike. And I don't know about you, but the end of the game against Atlanta looks like she's still working on how to deal with the double team. Maybe she practices like the Devin Booker school of thought when it comes to playing pickup during the offseason. But yeah, my favorite player in the league, Marina Mabry's on Dallas, but she didn't play today. And that's all I have to say about Dallas.
Fair enough.
It's only two teams that don't make it, right? Is that what we got?
No, there's four teams.
So far we have...
Yeah, they're out. They're out.
Yeah, the Dream, the Fever, the Liberty, the Dallas Wings. Now actually getting to some of the teams that I'm most familiar with going forward. The Las Vegas Aces with Drunk Rambo Bill Laimbeer as their coach.
He looks like if the bad kid from Karate Kid grew up and like... It was just like hitting the bottle still.
So here's what I don't understand. He said that like there are no barbers in the Wubble, so he can't cut his hair, which is why it looks like that. They've been there for what, 2 weeks? You're telling me that like 60-something-year-old Bill Laimbeer's hair still grows at that rate?
I want Bill Laimbeer looking like he's in fucking Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young by the end of this fucking Wubble. I want
him. It's not going to be like a headband that's going to contain the amount of hair that's left.
I want Bill Laimbeer to have a fucking man bun by the first round of the playoffs. Bill Laimbeer is like, he's my favorite person to watch just talk such shit. And I think, you know, what, maybe the squeaks are too high in the NBA. The coaches' voices are way too high in the WNBA. You can hear everything. It's great.
Awesome. Yeah.
No Liz Cambage, obviously, but they look like they are not skipping a beat at all.
Asia looked awesome. She looked so good. What did they say? She was walking around in a boot all week. And then I was like, fuck that. Like, I'm ready to go.
Yeah.
I hope that doesn't backfire.
And I mean, well, if it does, still got Angel McCarthy, man.
If it does, though, like that's the team that's missing the playoffs.
Oh, for sure.
Okay, but you think they're feast or famine? Like they should still be like, you know, probably at least top four, making like.
Yeah, what's cool is like there were stretches where they looked incredible against Chicago, and like I'm obviously not as high on Chicago as some other people, but I still think they're a good team, and to be able to hold down that offense is really impressive. And
wait till they discover that you can shoot 3-pointers.
I just love that, like, they had to drop a three at the end of the game. Or they didn't even have to drop a three, actually. They went for the win at the end of the game, and they brought in, what, like, Sugar Rodgers, who hadn't played all game, to just, like, Bill Laimbeer didn't know how to set up a play design for someone to take a three.
He just doesn't believe in them. So it's like he doesn't think it exists.
That's what's kind of cool about the Aces, where, like, in the NBA, you know, you see his team like San Antonio who decides not to take threes, and everyone just universally agrees that, like, their offense sucks and they're boring to watch and they just don't do as well as other teams. But in the WNBA, like, you get some real stylistic diversity. Like, Vegas doesn't like shooting threes, and they still were not that far from beating the Mystics last year. Like, I don't know how close you thought that series was, Jamel, but, like, it could have really gone. That game one could have gone either way, you know?
For sure.
And like,
definitely not that far away. I would also say, I don't think it's on the Spurs. I don't think the Spurs had a choice in not shooting threes. I think LaMarcus Aldridge and DeRozan like broke Popovich. He's like, fine, 18 footers are in again. Whatever, let's go.
Yeah, it's just really cool that like Vegas is like, okay, we're just gonna go attack the basket all the time. Adrian Wilson's awesome mid range shooter. Angel McCautry cannot be stopped on the way to the rim. We're just gonna do this over and over again, and it works. It's really fun to watch.
So how did they end up losing? Just missing some shots down the stretch?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's like a little bit of a depth thing too. They also only came into camp with like 9 players, so
not a lot of players. Chicago just also started hitting everything in the fourth.
Yeah, and like that's what's cool about Chicago too, right? Like they have that ability to just be like, okay, Quigley, let's do this.
All right, we'll take a little more time on this one because it's your bread and butter. The Los Angeles Sparks stepping into the league this year. And after their first, I would say, like, they shocked me. They looked excellent in their first game. Like, better than they looked at any point in the last 2 years, especially last year under Fisher. And I know that, like, him and Candace Parker had, like, their arms around each other, talking business, making it look like everything's all cool. Very Hollywood of them. But what are your, I mean, this is your bread and butter here. I mean, you tell us kind of what to look for with the Sparks this year, but I'm way more excited about rooting for my hometown team now than I was before this first game. Cause they were fun as hell to watch.
Not a Cleveland Rockers fan.
Oh yeah. But I mean, what the fuck am I going to do? obviously I'm a Rockers fan.
I would say other than Washington, this was the most impressive win of the first 6 games. Only because I feel like the expectations were a little bit lower for Washington. Whereas, like, I think for me, the Sparks and Phoenix were kind of like the two teams I would see as most likely to challenge Seattle for the title this year. And it's early. Obviously, you know, Phoenix has a lot more new pieces to integrate than Los Angeles does. But that was hella impressive. Like, just to completely, like, open up a can of whoop-ass in that third quarter. And the thing that always worried me about the Sparks last year was like, you know, you've got Chelsea, you've got Nneka and Candace, and they fit really well together. Like, I don't think there's a lot of duplication. Not that they're just like not duplication, but like their skill sets work really well with one another, but they've never been able to find two other players who, I don't know, could command defense's attentions like away from them, especially last year, like when Candace wasn't at full strength. But Simone Augustus, oh, holy hell. Like, I don't know. I don't care if she's like 30-something, like late 30s, defense still cares about reputation, right? And people expect her to make that mid-range pull-up every single time she takes it. So just having her healthy is such a coup for this Sparks team because nobody guards Tierra Ruff and Pratt. Like, Raquana Williams, what the hell happened to her? Like, Derek Fisher types up Raquana Williams all the time. Like, did she make any shots in that game? I don't know what happened.
I think Brittany Sykes is taking all her minutes.
Yeah, Brittany Sykes blocked Brittany Griner, which was the best play of the weekend. I think Crazy. She gives up, what, a foot on Brittany Griner?
Is Sykes the second person you were kind of referring to sliding in with Parker Ogumike and Gray?
Yeah, so I kind of assumed that Sykes was, like, being brought in to fill that TRP from Pratt role, and they're going to give TRP a chance to earn that role at the start of the season because she played as a starter all of last year. You know, you don't just, like, demote somebody after having a season like that. I get that. But, like, she saw it 30% from three all season, and she's an unwilling shooter, and she does a lot of other things, right? Like, she helped guard their opposing perimeter players when, like, you wanted to give Chelsea a rest. But, like, Sykes can do that, and Sykes can also get to the basket, which nobody else on the Sparks really does. Like, they just didn't get free throws last year, and Sykes is always, like, just tunnel vision to the hoop, which I really like about her. Should I keep going? Just more
I think they looked alarmingly in, like, mid-season form to me when, like, in that game. And also just, like, you know, I know you brushed over them, but Gray, Ogumike, and Parker looked just fucking fantastic.
Yeah, I think that's the key, right? That, like, Parker was just not herself last year. And
not at any point. Like, they not just at any look point. She just looks, like, clearly healthy the way she just kind of even commands the court. Mm-hmm. It felt like last year she kind of was like a veteran who was almost like not trying to be vocal because she knew she couldn't, like, back up even, like, her team leadership in that sense.
Right. And, like, I actually didn't even think, like, Chelsea looked that great yesterday, but they have enough other than that, you know, to, like, get things done. And just to think that, like, Chelsea is going to get better as the season goes along just makes this team even more interesting.
Yeah, I was a little pissed at how good they looked, honestly. I didn't fully appreciate it, but they will be fun.
Because I was really scared when Chrissy Tolliver opted out, because that lack of a secondary creator just killed them all last year. Like you saw in that Connecticut series in the playoffs where they just put their energy on Chelsea and then the offense couldn't do anything. But having Candace back, you know, ability to run stuff, Simone can run offense, which I didn't really expect. It just opens up a whole nother world of possibilities.
Also, Brittany Sykes wears a lot of fun wigs on her Instagram. She'll throw a wig on every now and again, and I think that's just a fun thing that she's doing.
I agree. She's got a great Instagram.
I'm going to skip alphabetically and jump down to the team that they played, because it was an awesome first half, and then they just kind of lost it in the second. But Phoenix Mercury, great to see Diana Taurasi back. Her and Sue Bird, it's just nice to watch them play. And in this time where, you know, you got to just appreciate every moment of anything before, you know, we become a totalitarian pandemic state. It's just, you got to appreciate it. It's good to see her making some fun passes. Brittany Griner, underwhelming game, but just still like to put, you know, I don't think that's going to be reflective of her monster season. What are your thoughts on the Merc? Is anyone calling that the Merc?
I don't think anybody does, but I don't see why not. It feels fine.
Encourage him. Don't encourage Peter. What? Like
you know, the Phoenix honestly, Merc? Like, Merc is like how my name abbreviates itself, so I'm just used to seeing it a lot. It doesn't offend me.
Oh, okay.
Okay. But yeah, I don't see how opposing teams are going to consistently guard that Skylar Diggins, Brittany Griner pick and roll, especially when you just space Diana Taurasi on the other side of the floor. Like, that's an impossible action. And why they didn't run that every single time down the floor is beyond me. I guess you theoretically have to, like, try to get other players involved. But once Phoenix just, like, gets down to business and is like, okay, we have big three, like, let's just stop pretending that everybody else needs to get touches, I think it's going to be a very difficult team to contend with.
That's what I thought was so impressive about the Sparks win, too, is I can't believe they just blew them out of the water like that. I know it was just one game, but, like, Phoenix is stacked. If they get anything from Taurasi, like, too, it's like they're going to be right there.
Yeah, and that's just one of those things where I feel like Taurasi wasn't as close to what she can be as, like, the Sparks players were. You know, Candace looked much closer to her full self than Taurasi did. But if Taurasi gets there, like, you know, then you can't fuck with them.
Yeah. Phoenix Merc ain't nothing to fuck with. All right, Minnesota Lynx. Nice win against, who did I say, the Sun, right?
Yeah, Connecticut.
I feel like this is a perennial title contender here.
What do you think, Jamel? I didn't watch much of their game today.
Well, you know, they look pretty good. They had a thing going. Sylvia Fowles still just getting 20 rebounds a game. No big whoop-de-doop. That's still going on. Connecticut was handling them for three quarters, and then, like, the depth and some shot making took over. But I mean, they're definitely a playoff team for me. Lexi Brown was taking a few too many shots, but whatever, they started hitting at the end though.
Yeah, Minnesota's one of those teams, like, I look at the talent on paper, and, like, other than Nafisa and Sylvia Fowles, I'm not overly impressed. But Cheryl Reeve is just really, really good at getting things done. And
it's good to look at her just be like over it. Like, whenever, like, a bad play, she's just like, oh, what the fuck are they doing?
And also, like, so I was really mad in the draft when they didn't take Crystal Dangerfield in the first round. And then she just, like, fell to them in the second round because Cheryl Reeve is a smarter general manager than I pretend to be. Yeah, like, she was awesome. Just having a competent point guard who can get the ball into fouls, which they just don't otherwise do. It's so weird to me. Sylvia Fowles is unbelievable, and they just don't use her as much as they could.
Yeah,
but now they kind of have to because, like, nobody else is there. Yeah. I like Minnesota. I mean, they're overly reliant on two players, but who isn't, you know?
Yeah, that's the way this shit is set up now. Now everybody's got somebody gone.
Last but not least, the Seattle Storm, who you mentioned previously, you think are kind of the ones to beat right now. Sue Bird is back. Top line thoughts about the Storm.
Breonna Stewart is just really good. And she
that's
was
just, you know what, that's really good analysis. Yeah, because really that's good. Really true. She's just really fucking good.
Yeah. I mean, I was so looking forward to getting like a Stewie Elena Deladon rematch last year, but then obviously Stewie got hurt, and then we're not getting it this year because Elena Deladon's not gonna play. But this is the team that won the 2018 title. And like you can say, oh, 2 years have passed. Stewie's what, 26 years old now? Like, I don't think age is really an issue here. They've got Natasha Howard, who was third in MVP voting last year, defensive player of the year, and she just gets to be third option now. Jordan Canada is fucking awesome. Like, Jewel Lloyd's good. They've got this rookie whose arms are longer than anybody else in WNBA. What's her name? Magbigor from Australia. She's really fun to watch. Like, every single player on Seattle's team is like, I would want them on my team. And I hate that I have to go up against them.
And you would say, if you're picking right now, you're saying Seattle Storm are Wubble national champions?
Yes. I think they are the team to beat unless something goes wrong.
I guess that's
fair.
Sorry, Myesha Hines-Allen. I don't mean to add any fuel to your fire.
Look, it's fine. It's fine.
She's not Stewie yet.
Jamel, you got one, man. You don't need another one. Don't get selfish, all right?
Don't say that to me, man.
You won a World Series last year. And you won a Stanley Cup recently.
You won a Stanley Cup, yeah.
Relax.
Peter, you don't know what I need. You don't know what I need, okay?
No, dude, I do know what you need.
I need all of these. Don't do that.
You got them. You got three. You got three.
I need five. I need eight more.
All right. Sabrina, anything else for you before we sign off here? Anything else you're looking forward to in terms of Wubble activities?
Who's Seattle beating in said finale?
Seattle is beating, I suppose, the winner of the Sparks Mercury semifinal.
That's what I'm talking about.
Which I think would be really fun. Yeah.
Let's go, Sparks.
Sparks Lynx has been a really fun rivalry, you know, over the last few years, but just like locally, it makes more sense for Phoenix to be the primary rival, especially because like Diana's from LA and she talks so much shit about LA all the time. I think that would be just great to watch.
For sure.
I love it. Sabrina, where can people read you and check you out?
All of my stuff is on SB Nation. I am on Twitter at SabrinaJM. That's Sabrina with two E's. It's phonetic. Everything I write is there.
Jamel, anything you got a promo?
No.
Mel's working hard on an awesome podcast that's coming out soon. Keep an eye out for it. Airbudspot.com for Patreon and for the merch for the NBA National Championship.
We'll talk about the NBA next fucking week. This is the league who had real games, okay?
Yeah.
Don't come here for fucking scrimmage updates.
Tune in tomorrow for our special report on the largest story from the NBA. Until then, peace out.